Shaykhing it up with Sheikh Fayaz. Nightly Ramadan Reflections.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. The month of Ramadan is most commonly connotated with fasting, the abstaining from food and drink and sexual desires. During this blessed month is amongst the core tenets of Islamic tradition and practice when it comes toward our responsibilities and our hope and aspiration in fulfilling them during the blessed month of Shah Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This particular verse is in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 183, and God begins by stating, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe. And exegetes of the Qur'an, they state that whenever God begins a particular verse of the Qur'an with this specific phrase, when he states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, it's not only speaking to people who are already firm and steadfast on their faith, on their iman, but rather it's also people who are making efforts and incremental changes within their lives to being people who are eventually believers. Because many people, when they read the Qur'an or when conversations come up about the month of Ramadan and they're not necessarily practicing the way that their friends or their family members are practicing, or seemingly they're a little bit behind in their spirituality, in reality it's no competition this blessed month. But the fact that we're aspiring and that we're desiring to be amongst those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers people of belief, know that God is also addressing us when he states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe. He then continues when he states, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Fasting has been prescribed for you just as it has been prescribed to those who have come before you. Meaning across different unique religious traditions, we find that fasting, abstaining from food and drink, is a reality and an incredibly important rite and ritual that one has to perform so that we're able to realize that ourselves, our lives, shouldn't be so focused on the consumption that we often engage in on a day-to-day basis. Our lives are so revolved around what we're going to eat in the morning, what we're going to eat in the afternoon, what we're going to eat at night, what we're going to drink in between, where we're going to go out for dinner, where we're going to go out for breakfast, where's brunch on Sunday, so on and so forth. And God is making mention to us in this particular verse that people throughout history, those who have desired and aspired to be amongst those who cultivate their hearts and souls, they have to do so by stopping themselves from the overconsumption of food that we're so accustomed to doing on a day-to-day basis. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Thus he states that fasting has been prescribed for you in this month in the same way that it has been prescribed to those who have come before you in previous generations, in previous traditions. And then we get to the most important part of this verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And we have prescribed this fasting for you, O believers, or O those who aspire to be on the path of belief, so that you might attain God consciousness. So that we might attain what is known as taqwa in the Arabic language, which is probably most closely translated as mindfulness or understanding the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every moment and in every step, before we perform any action, while we're performing an action, after we perform an action. That's the end goal of fasting during this blessed month of Ramadan. What does it mean then to attain taqwa? Or what does it mean then to attain this God consciousness or God wariness or mindfulness of the presence of God? During the month of Ramadan, we have to understand that fasting goes beyond just abstaining from food and drink, and rather the end goal is that abstaining from food and drink eventually allows for our hearts, our souls, our minds, our intellects to become centered so that we're able to go out and really feel the presence of God at every opportunity and in every stage in our life that we possibly can. Which is why when we come and take a look at unique traditions that speak about the merits of fasting, for instance, within the traditions of the Prophet and his family, alayhi wasalam, we see one tradition that tells us, Zakatul Badan As-Siyam, that surely the tax on your body is fasting. Because again, of the overconsumption that we intake on a day-to-day basis outside of the month of Ramadan, and unfortunately for many of us, even during the month of Ramadan, immediately at the time of iftar, we're ready to eat everything. We eat with our eyes and we don't eat with our stomachs. We don't eat with our mouths. We put so much food on our plate, not understanding the sort of impact that it's having on our body, but at the same time, the impact that it's going to have on our soul as well. When we come and take a look at Islamic tradition, or in reality, spiritual traditions all across the board, there is so much conversation of the fact that our body and our soul are just two sides of the same coin. They're two realities, nonetheless, within one dimension. And that whatever we intake to our body and whatever our body performs, it resonates with our spiritual dimension, our souls. And the goal is that after the month of Ramadan, we're not so inclined toward the consumption, toward eating the types of food that are unhealthy, that are, you know, in regards to the overeating that we do, that after the month of Ramadan, we're able to build on the fact that we fasted for these 30 days, and we've attained this God consciousness and this mindfulness, and that I'm also going to take care of my body, because taking care of my body then resonates in the taking care of my soul. So this one tradition from Imam al-Sadiq, it states, Zakatul Badan As-Siyam, that the tax on the body is fasting, that we consume so much, so take a break for these 30 days and try to recharge your body, because again, it's going to resonate and impact your soul as well. In another tradition, it states from the Holy Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, As-Siyam Ibtila'un Li-Ikhlas Al-Khalq, that fasting is a means by which God tests the sincerity of his creation. Nobody loves anything like they love food. And when we abstain from food and drink, and in reality, if we're able to continue that, even in the nights, during the times of iftar and during the time of suhoor, where we're not going to the lengths of overeating, then we have to understand that we're passing in this examination of our sincerity, demonstrating how much we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at the end of the day, if we eat so much, we don't have the opportunity to spend that time in prayers and worship. Our mind becomes focused on other things. But if we satiate ourselves to the extent that we have enough energy to go out and do whatever it is that we have to do in terms of obligations, in terms of ritual, in terms of supplication, in terms of worship and prayers and so on and so forth, then again, then we're really maximizing the potential of this blessed month, of the month of Ramadan. Furthermore, we have to understand that fasting is not limited and confined to just following the basic laws of not eating or drinking, not engaging in relations with one's spouse, but rather it is a fundamental and foundational worship that links our souls to God. Many people, we spend so much time memorizing all of the laws of fasting. For example, since lying doesn't break the fast, it's okay to lie. Since backbiting doesn't break the fast in terms of the legal spectrum, perfect. I can lie as much as I want. I can cheat on an exam during the month of Ramadan. But at the end of the day, if we're doing all of those things and trying to find loopholes in regards toward legality, just in terms of looking at the strict laws so that our fast is seemingly accepted in our minds, then at the end of the day, we're not fulfilling the end goal of fasting when God mentions within the Holy Quran, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that the end goal of fasting is so that you may attain some sort of God consciousness. And that's when we go toward some really remarkable and incredible words from Imam Zainul Abidin Ali ibn al-Husayn, the great grandson of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He speaks toward the rights of fasting over the human being in his immaculate work known as Ar-Risalat al-Huquq. In regards toward the right of fasting, he states, وَأَمَّا حَقُّ الصَّوْمِ فَأَنْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ هِجَابٌ ضَرَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى لِسَانِكَ وَسَمْعِكَ وَبَصَرِكَ وَفَرْجِكَ وَبَطْنِكَ. He states that, and the right of fasting over you is that you should know that it is a veil which God has set up over your tongue and over your hearing and over your sight and over your private parts and over your stomach to protect you from eternal damnation, to protect you from the fire. What's so incredible about this particular tradition on behalf of Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is that he makes mention of fasting in regards to a couple of different dimensions. The first one of those is that he states that fasting is a veil that's to be created, that has to be set up over one's tongue. Meaning that when we're fasting, we need to be careful of the words that we're saying to other people. We need to make sure that during this month of Ramadan, that when we get incredibly angry because of how difficult the fast and how lengthy the fast is, that we need to make sure that we're not necessarily lashing out on people, our family, our children, our parents, our colleagues at work, our co-workers, whatever it might be. Because at the end of the day, we need to protect our tongues while in the state of fasting as well. And then he states, peace be upon him, Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin, that the second right of fasting over you is that we know to protect ourselves from our hearing. That during the month of Ramadan, again, a lot of people have so much extra time, so they spend a lot of time gossiping, so on and so forth. Be careful of what you hear as well. Protect your hearing. Thirdly, that it's a protection or that it's a veil for your sight. That during the month of Ramadan, it's not, again, only about abstaining from food or drink, but it's about being careful of what you're looking at. That it's a veil that's been created over your private parts, and the idea that we are not to have relations with our spouses in the state of fasting. And finally, the last point that is made within this sermon, within this tradition from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, is that fasting is supposed to be a veil that is set up over your stomach. Meaning the last thing that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam mentions is the fasting of the stomach. And the idea that we have to be a people who understand that fasting is on so many different dimensions, and again, not just relegated toward food and drink. But nonetheless, when it comes toward food and drink, because of how hungry that we get during the long fast and during the long days of the blessed month of Ramadan, it's important then to go ahead and take a look at what the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have spoken to in regards toward how we can discipline ourselves when it comes toward food. And in a narration from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he offers one of his companions three advices in regards toward self-discipline, or what is known as riyadat al-nafs. He states, number one, do not eat which you do not have an appetite for it brings out a lack of intellect. Oftentimes what happens is that we just eat everything that is in front of us, even if we really don't want it, even if we're really not craving it. I don't know why we do that, but nonetheless, specifically during the month of Ramadan, again, we're eating with our eyes, and we're not really understanding what we're doing because seemingly we've lost some sort of our intellects during the month of Ramadan, when in reality it's supposed to have the reverse effect on us. Because again, so much of our lives is about consumption, is about what we're going to eat on a day-to-day basis. So during the month of Ramadan, at the time of iftar, we might just lose control. So we need to be a people who perform self-discipline and talk ourselves through it. In the first couple of days, maybe the first week or 10 days or so of the month of Ramadan might be difficult. But after that, we have to be able to get into a routine to understand that at the end of the day, me abstaining from food and drink, even at the time of iftar, so I don't overeat, for instance, is a means for me to spiritually cultivate my heart and my soul in building out the link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the second advice that he mentions to this companion of his, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he states, secondly, do not eat unless you're hungry. Again, like we tend to do during the holy month of Ramadan, we just tend to eat everything. Seemingly, it's a couple of minutes before Fajr prayers and we've woken up and we've eaten our suhoor, so on and so forth. And we realize that we have a couple of minutes left, and even though we're full, we still try to drink an extra cup of water. We even then try to eat some extra dates or eat another sandwich or whatever it might be. Even though we're not hungry because we think or that we feel or for some reason our minds tell us that we need to keep on adding more to our body to sustain ourselves for the whole day, when again, that doesn't work. And number two, that's not what God wants from us during the month of Ramadan. Again, the end goal is that we're in the state of absolute God consciousness. So the second advice that he gives to his companions is that do not eat unless you're hungry. The first thing, do not eat that which you don't have an appetite for. Secondly, do not eat unless you're hungry. And thirdly, the Imam alayhi salam says, and by the way, these things are also supposed to be taken by extension after the holy month of Ramadan, so that we're able to, again, really learn from what we've gained during these blessed days in terms of moving forward after the month of Ramadan, up till next year, inshallah. The third advice that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam gives, he states, thirdly, eat only that which is halal. Begin in the name of God, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and remember the tradition that states that there is no vessel that man fills worse than his stomach. From the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, he states there is no vessel that man fills worse than his stomach. Because again, what you fill over there, again, it's going to resonate in regards toward your heart, in regards toward your soul. So if you fill it, the Imam continues, Imam As-Sadiq continues, states, so if you fill it, then allow one third for food, one third for drink, one third for air. He doesn't say that fill up your stomach until your food gets to your throat so you can't even move anymore. We need to be a people who are able to control this vessel of ours. Because if we're not able to do so, we come and we see that it could potentially lead toward the death of our hearts. In a tradition from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he states that fasting is a means toward the purification of one's hearts, and overeating has the potential to bring death to one's heart. Not only in regards toward physically and the type of diseases that potentially we can attain from overeating or from eating a lot or from eating unhealthy foods, but when the Holy Prophet alayhi salam is making mention of the heart in this particular tradition, he's speaking about the spiritual vessel that God has created us with. That we have to understand that what we intake into our body without a doubt has an effect in regards toward our day-to-day lives, the way that we practice, the way that we speak to people, the way that we respond to people. And inshallah that during this blessed month of Ramadan, we will be able to control our stomachs and be able to be amongst those who attain taqwa or God consciousness by means of fasting. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala ahl baytah al-tayyibin al-tahirin.
Follow Sheikh Fayaz on Twitter @FayazJaffer and look out for him on Facebook.